on this not really cold, but cool, rainy, coronavirus kind of day. I heard one of the best things about in our area is the humidity is great for keeping the virus from floating in the air. So we've had plenty of humidity lately. We should be good. But good to see everyone out, and I appreciate you coming. I know a lot of people is a lot of fear going on right now, and we know the Bible tells us many times to fear not. And this is hard. As you see all the panic going on, it's hard to keep your composure, and you go into the grocery store and feel like you're in some kind of movie. All the toilet paper's gone, and hand sanitizer and everything's gone. So it is a time of panic, but also I think it's a time I've looked and studied and thought all week. I think it's a time that is exciting also. It's a time that I believe God has allowed this thing to get his people to call upon him and to come back. And it's in our scripture, and I'll show you that this morning. Our president, as of Friday, I think it was, proclaimed today, March the 15th, the National Day of Prayer. And that's what our service is going to be focused around today, is that. I don't think there's a better time that we should be in prayer than when something like this is happening. It's the only thing we can do. I can stay away from crowds. I can wash my hands. I can buy all the hand sanitizer I want to. But ultimately, I cannot stop that thing from spreading. I cannot do it. But I know one who can. I know one who can speak, and it'll be gone. I know one who can think to do away with it, and it'll be gone. So thank God for that. So today I want you just to relax, put your mind on him, get everything else, all the fears, all the anxieties that we have. I heard on the news today, I was listening to the Fox News on the radio, and they said that one guy who was, which I'm not as old as many of y'all, especially Pat, but back in the 80s, there was a great fear when AIDS first came to be known. In 1983, some of y'all remember that, going through that time, said it was close to the anxieties that's out right now. They didn't know how it spread, didn't know how to keep from getting it, didn't understand anything about it. But we made it through it. And then in 2009, and many times before that, but 2009 with the swine flu, which me and you never heard much about it here, but way more in people was infected, way more in people was deaths and everything. So things that we have been through things before, and God's going to bring us through again. I don't have a doubt. I don't know who will be affected, who won't, but I know we can trust in him. This morning, do we have any prayer requests on this National Day of Prayer? Remember Shelley? Remember Brad Vines? Couch Whitley's doing good.
The little girl Macy from childhood sort of cancer, high fever.
Remember that?
I'm having an epidural tomorrow.
Remember that? I'm sure we got several this morning that's out due to concerns of health and different things, so ask you to remember them. Do any more prayer requests? The women had a women's day yesterday and was great excitement, so we're continuing to remember that lady who spoke for them, said she'd done a great job, and authored a book, and I think some of y'all got it and different things, so appreciate those who participated in that. No more prayer requests. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word that you've given us. God, that we can trust in you. That, God, we can put all our anxieties, all of our fears, all of our not knowings and everything in your hands. God, we pray for our nation. We pray for what's going on in our nation, and not just our nation, but the whole world, of this pandemic, of this virus. And God, we know that you create everything. Well, unless you allow it, it cannot happen. We don't understand how you work, but God, we know you work, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask you today that you just heal, and that God, if it be your will, you wipe this virus from off the face of the earth, and God, that we know you're going to use it to bring honor and glory to your name. God, I pray that we as your people will have the intelligence to look and see what we must do. God, I ask you as we come into the singing hour that you touch our singers this morning. God, as we come to preach, Lord, you lay the message on our heart that the people need to hear. God, that you open hearts and minds. We pray we leave here today with some of this fear gone, that we know we can rest in you, that we can have assurance that if it was our time, that God, we're secure with you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Man, appreciate that singing this morning. As I was praying, the Lord had me preach today. Had a little different message on mine until all the panic struck. And then this verse came to mind of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if you're familiar with this, Solomon had just built a temple unto the Lord, and of course Solomon had enough God about him to realize that unless the presence of God was in that temple, it was nothing but an empty structure. We've preached about it for weeks now, it seems like, about the presence of God. So in chapter number 6, 5 and 6, Solomon begins praying, asking God to fill that temple with his presence. In the 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, verse 14, God begins giving them some things that will have to happen if he is to remain among them. You go back to the start of chapter number 7 of 2 Chronicles, the presence of God comes down, consumes the sacrifices there on the altar, and he fills the temple with his glory. And begins telling them that some obligations they will have to meet if they are to keep the presence of God in their midst and on their land. And today, I have no doubts. Now, I'm not one of these that said God told me this in audible voice, because he didn't. The Bible plainly teaches there's no new revelation outside the Bible. But I believe he gives us a sense to sense these things, that I believe this virus that's come upon our land and other lands is to bring God's people back to God. I don't even believe it's for the lost. You say, wait a minute. That's what it's about. Yes, it is. But listen, God's people today, I have no doubt, is away from him. Why do I know that? Because we have these things in our land. He promised in this verse, if we do some things, then our land would be healed. And listen, every time you study the Bible and you understand how God works, he's a father. And as fathers, we know there's times that we must discipline. It's not fun, but if you don't love your children, you don't discipline. You let them do what they want to do. You can let them run wild, and it's a lot easier to do that. You have a lot less fussing in your house if you let them do what they want to do. If you let them just go about doing all this on their TikTok, then you ain't going to have no fussing. But sometimes you may want to keep peace. But if you care about them, you love them, you teach them. We say all the time when our little ones are here in Bible school, we preach at them, we holler at them, do not go towards the road. The reason we do that is protect them from fear, from harm. We understand if they get out in front of a car, they may get run over, they may get harmed. We try to keep them from that. The same thing that God was doing in this verse. If you've got your Bibles, turn over there to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. I ask you to stand for the reading of this word. Everyone should be able to quote it, probably. And it's probably been, I thought about this. This verse is probably being preached at almost every church in our land today. It's probably almost everywhere, but we're going to preach it anyway. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Father, we thank you today for this verse. God, we ask you to open our hearts and minds, and that God, that you touch someone here, if everyone here that don't know you, that God, you use this opportunity to draw them to yourself. God, we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. God, I ask you for help us with our faith, for we know it's weak. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope we can look back on this, what's the right word they use in pandemic? Is that the right word? That we can look back on this pandemic and say that it was a turning point for God's people, not even in the United States, but in the whole world. Because if I understand right, this thing already is throughout pretty much the whole world that's civilized, that has a way to let you know that they have it. It's all over the globe. And I believe that this is what it's for. It's to get God's people back to him. Now listen, he tells them in verse number 14, my people. He says, if my people. Now who is he talking to? Now we understand, if you study that temple was built by Solomon, the Jewish people would come there and they would worship God. But listen, we've got greater promises than that even as my people. My people today is me and you. And the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 11, verse number 11, and starting in verse 11, I didn't put it down there, guys, but it teaches that we have been grafted in. It says that the olive branches was broken off, and the wild olive branches, which is me and you, was grafted into the olive tree, which is God. That means that the Jewish people would not accept Jesus Christ. They wouldn't take him for their Messiah. So he broke those branches off and he took and grafted us in. And now if anybody knows anything about this, and I don't know a lot about it, but I remember in Ag, Mr. Nelson taught us about grafting in. You can take a certain type of peach tree and you can graft in branches and that thing will put off different kind of fruit on that one side. It's amazing what it can do. But you can be grafted into that one tree. And that's what happened with me and you. Many people fuss and say, well, the Gentiles is not God's people. Well, you'll have to take them to Romans chapter 11 and show them that the Bible says that through Jesus Christ, we have been grafted in to God's chosen people. Now, we know that God's chosen people was the Jews, but thank God we have been grafted in. So this verse in the Old Testament is teaching to me today that I am God's people. What about that today? You have been grafted in with the chosen people of God. The issue we face is a wake-up call to the lost. It's not as much a wake-up call to the lost as it is to the church. The lost is not God's people. Listen, there's a politically correct thing that goes around saying all people is God's children. Now listen, God created each person. The Bible tells us that in Jeremiah. Before I was in my mother's womb, He formed me. He created me from the foundation of the world. You was created. He knows you. He knew everything you was going to be about. But everybody in the world is not God's people. There's two that forms of people that are God. That was the Jews, was His chosen people. And the Christians who come to Him through Jesus Christ, that is God's people. So today, this is a wake-up call to my people. My people. My people. He's calling to a certain group. Have you ever been into a Walmart and there's a bunch of people in there and you can hear someone's voice that's very familiar? If it was your mother, you could hear her call your name and you realize you belong to her. You learned this from a very young age. And that's exactly what God's doing in this verse. He's saying, my people, I've got a message for you. And my people, the ones who know me, I've got a message for you and I'm about to tell you something. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 through 30. Listen to this. Acts chapter 26, chapter 11, verse 26 through 30. I must not have pinned that one down. I would turn over there, but it's going to take me a time to find it. But listen, we're God's people. And He's speaking to us today, and He's wanting you to understand something, that you are His, and that you belong to Him. And He's got a message. Now, any message that's from God, we ought to want to know it. We ought to want to understand, if He thinks enough of me to call me His people, then maybe I want to take notice. Maybe I want to understand what it is. Listen, He goes a little further. He says, my people, which are called by my name. My people, my name. You ever thought about what name is He talking about? It's called by my name. If you know this or not, we are called a bunch of things today as believers in Jesus Christ. But the one most important thing we can be called is a Christian. The Christian people. If my people, which are called by my name. And boy, what a blessing it is to be called by the name that links us to Jesus. The great I am. Boy, you can go through all kind of names that His name is. His name is, we know the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the three make up one. We know Him as Elohim. We know Him as there's many different names for Him. The great I am. All kind of names there was in the scriptures. Each name told an attribute of God. But He says, those people that's called by my name, He's speaking to God's people that's here on earth today. He says, listen now, my people, you are called by my name so you know exactly who you are. Listen, as I was born, I was given a name. My last name is Morgan. I'm tied to them. I see my uncle passed away last week. As we went to the funeral home Saturday night and they had a TV playing, some of those images went by and I thought, man, that looks like me. I'm tied to that name. That name, I have features that looks like Him. And so listen, He's saying here that's called by my name. And there's more than just being called a Christian. We are to act, we're to walk, we're to talk like we are His people. He says, you are called by my name. He's about to tell us something. You're called by my name. Then He says something else. Now we're going to skip that one verse, that one little section for just a minute. We'll go back. But He says, my people, my name, my face. He says, pray and seek my face. Now, I'm afraid that we may pray. We may say a quick little prayer when we're scared or different things, but I want you to see what He's telling you in this verse. He says, my people, my name, if they pray and seek my face, pray and seek my face. Why is it important to seek out God? It tells us of the importance it is in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him when thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. This is what he is telling you in this verse of 2 Chronicles, to seek my face, to seek it with all your heart, with all your soul. And listen, in this time of excitement, in this time of anxiousness, in this time of not knowing what's going to happen, if you want to be sure that you're okay, it says seek the Lord and seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. And it says in one place, with all your understanding. So you are called to seek the face of God and to really, truly pray. Now I want to ask you this. When could you really tell me and be honest with me today? When is the last time you really got in earnest prayer with God? I can tell you when it is with me, when I had health problems, when I lost my mother, when my father was in bad shape, or you know what it is? I look back and it's always in a tragedy. Why is that? Why is that? It's because I'm human. That's why that is. And listen, and God loves me enough that he allows these things to come that he may draw me to seek his face. And now you say, well, that don't sound like I'm up very loving God that allows things to come in. And listen, he so desires to me to be in his presence that he allows these things to come upon me. How many of y'all in here have children? Raise your hand. There ain't no corona going to get you. We have children. How many of y'all love those children? How many of y'all would do anything you could do and you love to have them in your presence? Now, if they're not out of your house yet, you don't understand. But you love them to be in your presence, do you not? You don't when they're nine or when they're 13 teenagers, you want to get them out. But as they get up in the 20 and they leave home, you kind of want them to come back. You love to see them. Last night, we went on a little journey with Abby and to the hippie restaurant up there. And I told them along, I said, I don't want to go to this restaurant because I can tell by looking there's mosquitoes out there. I wasn't worried about the corona. I was worried about mosquitoes. We got up there, and sure enough, we hadn't been there 5 minutes, sitting on the porch, and one bit me on the head. And they said it was too cold for them, but it wasn't because I was getting bit by them. But listen, as we went, I was driving down the road last night, and I got to thinking, man, this is about as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets. Our family was laughing. Nobody was fussing. It was a miracle. There wasn't any fussing going on. There was just communion with our men, Stephanie, and our children. We was missing Amberly and Blake, but listen, it was still good. But we had a great time, and I began thinking what great it is to be in the presence of our children. Listen, that's what God desires from you, is you to be in his presence and seeking his face continually that you may be with him. We love it. There's something special about it. He says, and seek my face. You know why we need to seek his face? He is the only solution. He's the only solution. Listen, this thing don't lie in putting $50 billion so it can find a cure fast. I'm not against that. I know they got to do it. But listen, the solution to this problem is God's people. And I've already heard people say, well, maybe this is God's call to the lost to come back. No, it's not. It's right there in that verse. It's my people who call by my name. It's because a call to you to come back. That's the reason he sends things upon this earth, is to bring his people to himself. Seek my face. Seek my face, desiring the turn of his people. You notice what else he puts in that thing? Something that we have a part in. He says, my people, my name, pray and seek my face. He gives a promise there at the end, but now we got to go back up. He says, they shall humble themselves. Oh, my goodness. I looked this word up yesterday, and I thought, oh, me. The word humble means to bow down. That's what it meant in simple terms, was to bow down. Now, y'all, I preach this all the time, and I know I'm old-fashioned for my age, but I still believe that a church should use this thing right here. I believe you can pray at home. I believe you can pray in your car. I believe you can pray at your seat. But, brother, when I find in my Bible, when people need to get in touch with God, they was bent down on their face at an altar. You may have one at your house. You do. Praise God for it. But listen, church, I don't know if I've seen a time in my life such as we are in the very day I'm speaking. And listen, the only solution I see throughout the scripture is for God's people called by his name to seek his face and to humble themselves, to bow down before him and cry out to him. It says it right there. Humble themselves. That means to come before him and bend down. There's a posture in prayer. All through the scripture where somebody need to get in touch with God, they put their face to the ground. They cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes. We know we don't have to do that today. But I believe we still have to kneel before him in sign that we are humble and we understand that only he is in control. Humble themselves. Boy, living a time where people saying, I ain't bound to nobody. He's about to show you. You understand how weak you are? Have you understood in the past 3 days how weak you are? Hey, we are so dependent upon God, we don't even understand how dependent we are. We think we can do all these great things. And boy, I know I joke a lot. But I still need somebody to tell me why everybody is buying toilet paper on a respiratory virus. I'm not smart, but come on, y'all. There's a panic going on is what it is. And this thing starts from each other. That's how the panic was passed down. Somebody went to work one day and they said, hey, there's a thing called coronavirus over in China. It's coming to the United States. You better go buy you some toilet paper. And everybody went out and bought toilet paper. And they're still buying toilet paper. You go to Walmart and the toilet paper aisle is completely cleaned out. Because somebody started this thing of fear, and you better get this. I don't understand why it's not bread and milk. It is in the snow. We don't need toilet paper when it snows. I don't know what's going on, but listen. There's a panic. And what I'm trying to get my point across in a funny way is that we follow suit from people. We allow people to lead us into this fear. What if we took that same leading and led people towards God? And they saw this, and when Christian people didn't run out and buy every stick of toilet paper they could find on the shelf, and they trusted God to meet their needs, then maybe there would be some lost people saved through this thing. Humble themselves and pray. Boy, this praying right here, this word, means to get in earnest communication with God. I'm talking about get everything out of your life, ask Him to forgive it, clean it up, and get in communion with God. Pray and seek His face. This is the part we have in this. Another word to that humble had about three meanings I looked up. One was to be in need. The other was to bring down in subjection. God is humbling us, isn't He? He's saying, I'll show you. I'll show you how much you need me. You may be able to create all these great things you have in your earth. In my earth. You may be able to create all these great medical advances. Hey, I'm proud for them. I think we need doctors. We need nurses. We got to have them. But the most thing we need is God. Most thing we got to understand is that He is in control of everything. Bring in subjection. You realize this word humble is where we get our English word of humiliate. You know why people will not come down here today and get in touch with God in an altar in a church house? They feel humiliated. They're going to think I'm wrong. I'm going to look weak. I don't nobody else do it, so I'm not going to do it. It's so humiliating, come down in front of a group of people and bow down to something that we can't even see, we can't even touch, we can't even audibly hear, and we can't taste it, and they're going to think I'm crazy if I do this thing. Listen, it's a time for drastic measures, and the drastic measure I think God's people needs to make is to humble themselves and pray. But oh, He didn't stop there, did He? Humble themselves, pray, seek My face, turn from their wicked ways. Let me go back. My people, turn from their wicked ways. You saying, you tell me God's people has wickedness in them? Yes, I am. I go back to this all the time, but I love it. Billy Graham, I think, is one of the greatest gospel evangelists has been in our time. He lived for several generations, but people saw a godly man. Somebody asked Billy Graham, said, is wicked really in the world? He said, yes, it is. They said, how do you know wickedness is in the world? He said, because I know my own heart. Billy Graham preached to millions and millions. Millions come to the Lord through the preaching of Billy Graham. And he said he knew wicked was real because it was in his heart. You know wicked's real today because of what's in your heart. You have sin in your life that you as God's people needs out of your life if you're going to hear from God and see Him do something. He said, I'm not saying it, He's saying it. He said, my people need to pray, and at the end of that thing, they need to turn from their wicked ways. I don't know what your wicked ways is, I know what's mine, and if I'm going to hear from God according to that verse, I must get rid of those wicked ways and turn to Him. Why is it important that we be holy? Because the Bible says He is holy. Now listen, You're not made holy by any work you can do. I believe you should live as close as you can to the Word of God. I believe you should abstain from the things it says abstain from. I believe you should run to the things it says run towards. But not a work you can do can make you righteous with Him. We heard it in our Sunday school class. Can't remember the verse. But it says, Abram believed God, and this was counted to him as righteousness. That's the holiness. Believe God. Trust God. And get right. Get that junk out of your life that don't belong there. You know why this thing may have come? To get God's people to turn from their wicked ways. You know what? We're at a time in civilization. I can remember a time. I was lost as a goose. Didn't know anything about the Lord. Didn't know who Jesus was. A little boy, and I'd go into a store, and my grandpa and my daddy had taught me that this man was a preacher. And he was a God's man. I don't know his life, but I knew what he claimed to be. So you go in his store, you talk different, you act different. I was taught that at a young age. And I saw people that I knew was in the church. And then you know what? I even when I didn't know any better, I knew they acted different and they walked different and they talked different than everybody else. And you know what I did when I was around those people? I acted different than I usually did when I wasn't around them because I had a respect for them. Today, nobody has respect for God's people because they don't see any difference in us. They see us mingling with the crowd. Now listen, I know if you're going to teach them the gospel, you're going to be around them, but brother, you ain't got to partake some of the same actions they do. But listen, you must be a peculiar people, a called out people. And the thing is, the reason we can't get anybody saved today is because nobody can realize they're lost because of God's people looks like, just like the world's people. There's no difference. There's no being set apart. He says, turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. And then comes a promise. Then will I hear from heaven. Why is God not hearing our prayers? Number one, He is. Scripture teaches in Revelation that all the prayers of saints is kept in a vial. Every single one of them. Every prayer you ever prayed is in glory right now in a vial that God knows about. But He says, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You want God to hear from heaven about what's going on? Now listen, He knows what's going on here. He allows it to happen. Matter of fact, He had to create the bug it took to make what's coming against us. I believe God had to create it. Now you say, and there's a place in the Bible where it teaches that God allowed evil things to happen. That's just, He is completely just. He can do what He knows is best for people. But He says, then will I hear from heaven. What does this mean? That means that when God hears, there's something fixing to happen. When He truly hears His people crying out to Him. Listen, I'm brought back, and I'm not dumb enough to believe that through this virus even, that all of God's people is going to cleanse all their wicked ways and going to return to Him. All of them's not going to do it. Just not. But I remember a time when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the three angels came to Abraham. And they told Abraham, they talked with Abraham a little while, spent the night with him, and said, tomorrow we're going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. He said, my kin people's down there. Will you not destroy it if you find 50 people? He said, I won't destroy it if you find 50. He said, will you destroy it? Not destroy it for 40. Yeah, I'll preserve it for 40. For 30? Yeah, I'll do it. For 20? Yeah. For 10? Yeah, if you can find 10. And by the way, you count up the number of Lot's people there. They should have been 10. But he wouldn't go no less than the 10. Don't know if Abraham asked him to go any less than the 10. But I do know that Abraham bargained with God all the way down to 10. Now listen, I know in Scripture where Hezekiah was about to die and he prayed and God gave him 15 more years. I know God's will is perfect, but also I believe He desires the prayers of His saints, and you can change situations. Those angels was headed to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and because of the prayer of Abraham, they were spared for just a little bit. If they had been 10 righteous found, the whole place would have been spared. But it shows me that if some of God's people, if even you would decide to turn from your wicked ways and pray, you may be the key that relieves the oppression of this thing that's going on in our world. You may be the one he's waiting on. Because if you're saved today, you're my people. You're one of his people. If you're one of his people, he says, if you humble yourselves and pray, then he will hear it from heaven. And he will forgive your sin. Now listen, if I could see the sins of all of y'all, there's no telling what I'd think. So would you of me. Ain't you glad we can't see that? Ain't you glad that you cannot see each other's sin? If there would, there would be nobody that you'd want to be around, even yourself. If you could know the sin of the one sitting right beside you, you would be overwhelmed at what is in their heart. But God sees all this, and he knows it all. He knows what you've done and what you will do, and he's willing to forgive it. He's saying, all right, it's wiped away. If you humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, I'll forgive your sin. I'll forgive it. It is wiped away. You don't owe no more for it. It's free and clear. He says, I will hear and I will heal. That's a promise. You see, God's got all the big work in that thing. All you've got is humbling yourselves, praying, and turning your wicked ways. And God gives you a promise in that verse. I will hear and I will heal. That's a promise today from God. Do you care enough about your land? And I thought of this thought this week. I caught myself doing something I should have been doing the whole time. I was praying for my nation. I thought, you know what? This thing may have come for one reason, to get me to pray for my people. It may come for one reason, to get me to get rid of my wicked ways. I have no doubt, because I'm of my people. Are you this morning? Are you one of his people? Are you willing? He gives you an obligation here. Remember, he's saying he's going to be a part of this temple. His glory is going to fill this temple. And even he is willing and understanding of something. He understands that his people is going to go away from him even when he comes. He's filling that temple with the presence, and they go in and out of that temple and feel his presence. But still, he understands that they're going to get away from him, and to come, and he's going to have to send things upon them, and they'll have to come ask forgiveness, so he'll restore them. He understands that. That's why he gave them this verse. March 15th, 2020, our president of the United States. Let me show you how God can work. I'm not getting political. Y'all know where I stand. I'm not pushing it on anybody. At the end of the last administration, they was going through in a city in Texas, had already gotten to the point where they were screening the messages of pastors in that city before they could be preached. This thing was one election away from what I like to do and what I believe is needful, is serving a risen Savior called Jesus Christ was just about to be illegal. You say, that's hogwash. Well, you can believe what you want to. I believe it was. This fellow here, although he has a lot ways from perfect, and I wish his cell phone would get lost sometimes, and his mouth would get closed, but this man has declared a day of prayer in my nation. That's more than has been done in years. I'm not saying he's perfect. He's got a lot of things in his life, and he's straightening up too. But he's declared a national day of prayer. I wonder, are we going to waste this opportunity to come back to God? You understand this thing? It's not all bad. It's not all bad. It looks bleak, but this thing draws God's people back to him. What a blessing will it be. Let me read this last verse. I forgot about half of them. I pinned down. Psalms 103, verse 3, and we'll close. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. That's the one true God of Israel. That's the one this morning that is asking you in 2 Chronicles through his word. You see, he speaks today, and it's in this Bible. He sent you a message that was pinned down thousands of years ago, but he knew it was needful for this day in 2020. If you'll humble yourselves, turn from your wicked ways, seek my face, I'll heal your land. because I'm the God who forgives all iniquities and heal all diseases. You go to James chapter 5, I had it down, we won't go there. He talks about the prayer of faith. It'll heal. The prayer and faith will heal. Today, let me ask you a very personal question. Are you excited about this thing? Are you disturbed? If you ain't, you're not human. Seemed like a movie to me Friday evening as I was looking at the Facebook and I was looking at the news and I was driving along hearing the news talked about of all the things they're saying this thing was mutating faster than we could handle it and felt like I was in some science fiction movie. The fear just becomes overwhelming. Today, are you willing? You say, I heard people say it already. I wish there's something I could do to make this thing go away. As God's people, they are. I believe this right here. I believe that every professing Christian in our nation, just our nation, well, let's just say in Alabama, I believe if every single one of us would come before God, humble ourselves and pray, get rid of our wicked ways, I believe that even Alabama could solve this whole crisis. But I believe more than that. I believe that Cleburne County. I believe if Heflin. I believe if New Harmony Baptist Church. I believe if every believer sitting under the sound of my voice right now was to come to God in earnest prayer and cry out to Him and turn from their wicked ways, I believe God will heal this land. Because if you're His, you're my people, and God never makes a promise He won't keep. As we stand today, I want to do something different. We're not going to have Pat play. We're going to simply open these altars. You want to pray today? You come down here. It said you humble yourselves and pray and call upon my name. Then I will hear it from heaven. I will forgive your sins. I will heal your land. I'll do what I say I'm going to do. If we could just glimpse at the power that lies in the words of God. Let me tell you how strong His words are. You go back to Genesis, He spoke, and the world's come into existence. He spoke, and oceans was formed, and every living thing that swims in them. All we need is to get in touch with God. I'm going to lead us in prayer. You pray your own way. And I ask every single one of us, myself included, that we ask God to forgive our sins, number one. We ask Him to cleanse me. We ask Him to heal our land and to take this virus off of this place, off our nation, off our world. And I believe, according to His word, that He will do it. Heavenly Father, we come again today, God, just as humble as we believe we know how. God, I ask You, first and foremost, God, that You forgive me. The sin that's in my life, that God, You cleanse it. God, let me see the need to turn from my wicked ways, which is repentance. That God, I turn from it and get away from it. Lord, I pray for all these people that's bowed. I pray for the courage, God, it took for them to come even down here. And God, I pray, God, that You let them see what needs taken out of their life. And God, You say if we confess it, You're just to forgive it and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I ask You today, Lord, if there be one here, that You'll draw them to Yourself through this. But God, I understand that this virus has come upon our land for Your people, for You to get Your people to come back to You. God, we call it revival. God, I ask for a great revival in our land, that through this virus, that God, this thing that You've allowed to happen, that Your people will come back. God, I ask that You protect those in our communities that's elderly. God, those that may suffer from this. For we don't know Your timing, but I do know Your promise. And God, I ask You, if it's Your will, that You take this thing quickly from us. But God, if we have to endure it, I pray for strength. And I know it will happen until You get the ones who it is that You're set out to get that will return. But God, I ask for a comfort for Your people also, as there's anxieties, there's fears, and we're just people, and You know that. But God, we claim Your promise today that You will heal all of our diseases, You'll cleanse all of our iniquities. God, I ask You to keep our families safe, as many of us have family
members that are elderly. We have those that are real weak, susceptible to this virus, to harm. But God, again, we call upon you to put your hedge of protection about them. God, put them upon our children, our little ones. And God, we know that you've done that. We see the virus is not really affecting our little ones. God, we thank you that you allowed that to happen. Lord, we ask you to be with our church. God, let us turn. Turn to you, and God, that we may feel your presence in this place. That God, through this, we'd become a stronger group. Not only in the world, not only in our country, not only in our state, but in New Harmony Baptist Church, we'd be a group that relies on the promises of God, and we thank you for that. God, we ask you to go with us. Let us ever lean upon you. And God, that you keep us safe. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.